you know, I probably would like you to, but let's leave you in your comfort zone this week. Okay, well, we are continuing along with our... You brought a book, yeah. We're continuing along with... We've been doing a pretty lengthy study in evangelism. I don't know exactly when we started. When did we start?
2005.
No, probably not.
About 6 months, I guess.
Probably not 2005, but at least 6 months. Andrew's been teaching. And then we had some introductory comments from John Leonard. And I was trying to remember, as I was putting together my comments last night, I was trying to remember, when did John Leonard actually come? And nobody else remembers either.
Last August.
Was it August?
It was back before the conference.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start here. Thanks for your attention this morning. We'll be talking about evangelism. I'll tell you where we're going to go. This morning will be kind of a time of some introductory comments from me before we start doing something together as a church. And this is by way of kind of giving you an idea of what we're going to be doing, and it'll give you a little bit of time to think about how you want to approach that personally. So that's kind of my intention. I would like to begin this morning by reading from Ephesians 4:11. And I'll just read that to you, and then we'll open in prayer. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus upon his ascension. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together as your church. What a privilege it is to be called out of darkness into your glorious light, into fellowship with your Son. Lord, we of all people have so much to be happy for this morning, and so many reasons to rejoice, and so many reasons to speak of the fame of Jesus Christ and the glories of his name, the wonders of his works. We thank you for this. And we pray that you would help us now as we work together to understand better the commission that Jesus has given to us. And Lord, to figure out where we personally, how we fit in and what part we should be doing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're, as I indicated, we're talking about evangelism, and I wanted to talk a little bit about where we've been. We've been doing this for 6 months or so, and in August or so last year, a fellow from Westminster Seminary came and visited us, John Leonard. And I really enjoyed John's visit. I thought it was a really positive visit, and it was the type of talk that when you hear it, you think, you know, maybe I could really do this. You know, and he did a good job of kind of helping us to be excited about evangelism. He was sharing with us that in his class at Westminster Seminary, you know, he teaches at a seminary there in Philadelphia. And so all these seminary students come in, and these are guys that are preparing for the ministry. They come into the class and, I guess, you know, sit down. And I suppose what they're expecting is that John will, you know, talk to them about evangelism. And instead what he does is he says, "Now stick your books under your chairs. We're going to go do evangelism." And most of them kind of look at their class guide and go, "You know, I don't know. I don't think I signed up for the right class." So that's what John does. It's a very kind of maybe a pushier approach to evangelism to get people involved in actually sharing the gospel, because that's what evangelism is. It is actually talking to people who don't know Jesus Christ about Jesus Christ. And this year we've had a good bit of instruction, starting with John. I was excited by his comments. And then we've moved on, and Andrew has taught us for about the past 6 months about evangelism. And it's been a real good time of instruction, is what I would say. Andrew's done a good job of helping us to understand that evangelism is about the whole counsel of God. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, Remember, I've told you the whole counsel of God. And evangelism really does call upon us to give people a broad message. And certainly if we're going to be prepared to deliver the very compact message about Jesus Christ and about His saving work to people, we have to be better prepared and understand some things about the Lord and some things about the whole counsel of God. So Andrew's told us that it's a lot. And we as a family have been looking at evangelism ourselves during the same time period in family worship. And there's been a couple of reasons for that. One of the reasons is because for a long time my wife has wished to know more about evangelism. I have a wife that has a real heart to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And she's wished to know more about evangelism. And so she'd been thinking, well, eventually we're going to have teaching about evangelism. Well, she signed up to teach Sunday school. So like all the time that we've been in here talking about evangelism, well, she's been teaching children, which is great, but she was very disappointed. And I said, well, maybe we can do something to study evangelism in our home during family worship. And I came upon some material that just through watching TV about evangelism. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through a course prepared by a couple of guys, Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron, the actor. We're going to be going through that. Everybody's kind of, just wait. You'll have to see it. He's the left behind guy. Hold on. Anyway, the course is actually prepared by them, and it's called The Way of the Master. And these guys have done this. They have a series of videos, a book, and that's what we're going to do. I brought this to the session and let them have a chance to review it. That's what we're going to do for the next 8 weeks. We're going to go through this course. And it will give you, I think, some just very good instruction on. And I think the point of this is, I tried to think of what I thought the point of this was last night. I think the point of this is to be able and be prepared to make a compact gospel presentation. And I know the thing about me actually teaching this course is I don't really feel like I'm a great evangelist, but maybe this will be an opportunity for us all to think together and learn together about doing that. And then also as I look out over the class and think about the membership of the church, there's really quite a few guys in this church that have really done a lot of evangelism, a lot in the past, and would be very well qualified to do this. But this will sharpen our skills, I hope, and give us a chance to put into practice some of the things that we've been learning about for the last 6 months. And that's kind of where we want to head, and I'll say some more words about this next week. We're not going to start it this week. I wanted to give some introductory comments about it before we get to it next week. So be thinking about that. And there's also maybe available a book that you could read. I don't know if that's actually available to you. And then I'm going to be doing some other things too as I've tried to think about how to do this and how to help me and how to help the church in learning more about evangelism. I had reread several things that I'd read at an earlier point in my Christian life in the last week. We went on vacation the last couple of weeks. And I had reread Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God by J.I. Packer, which I know a lot of you have read. I was so excited upon reading it again that what I've done is I've purchased it for all of you. Probably many of you have. I purchased one for every household, and we'll be delivering those to you next week. I want you to read that again over the course of the next week. If you haven't read it before, I want you to read it for the first time. If you have read it before, I want you to read it again. J.I. Packer has some things to say to us as Reformed Christians that I think are very helpful to us and help us kind of find chinks in our armor and find particularly there's something that happens to us that's kind of a Calvinist disconnect, I think. We think because God's sovereign, but somehow we let ourselves out of the responsibility of evangelism, and that's a fairly common problem for Reformed Christians and for me as a Reformed Christian. So in rereading the book, I enjoyed very much how J.I. Packer presses home the responsibility of sharing the gospel, but also, you know, just when you think he's going to press you too hard, you know, he branches out and talks about this and says, you know, it's really a broad responsibility. We're going to have to go at this with all of our lives. So hopefully this book and this course will help us to sharpen our skills about talking to other people about Jesus Christ. And so by way of starting, I wanted to just ask for a little bit of input from you. And as you know, in all sorts of Sunday school classes, when somebody says they need a little bit of input, it always goes better if you actually give a little bit of input. What I wanted to ask you, first of all, is what do you think about when I mention evangelism, about doing evangelism? Or if I can ask an un-Presbyterian question, how do you feel about evangelism? And this is the part where you guys talk.
It's scary.
Okay. I knew somebody would say that. Does anybody else think evangelism is scary? I do. It's awkward. I didn't hear some of that, Shirley. Fanatical. Okay, my intention was to write some of these things down, but I was getting a drink. That's an ex-trial lawyer talking. He remembers the record as it comes out. Okay, so it's scary, it's awkward, it's fanatical. What other things? Okay. Here's what's kind of funny to me about this. Is like I made my list last night. I asked this and I sat down and made my list. And honestly, my list came out exactly like this. And then I thought, I wonder why when I think about evangelism, that the first things that come to mind are like scary, awkward, fanatical. And it's only later that I go, oh yeah, and it's also exciting. But I mean, that's exactly how I did my list last night. That's exactly how that process went. It can be confrontational.
Yeah.
Controversial. How about, now I'm really self-conscious about my spelling. Okay, yeah. Okay, so we got those things. Fear. Does anybody here feel good about evangelism? About your own efforts at it?
After?
Okay. Yeah, and here's the deal. Andrew and Billy are doing evangelism. Good after. Good after. I'll put that up there. Okay.
And so the conclusion of the presentation, you're really expecting the amen and you usually get to go away.
What can I do to get you to buy this car today?
And so that's the anticipated failures and the confrontation that kind of, at least for me, are always frustrating because you walk away unsatisfied.
Okay. And what, I mean, I kind of want to finish this list and I kind of want to ask some follow-up questions. That's a real good, maybe a real good place to take off. I wanted to add some other things to it. Have you ever thought about evangelism as having a sense of privilege about it? Okay? If you think about it, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the head of the church, has chosen to spread his gospel by including you in that process. That's kind of humbling. And that gives me, as I think about it, I feel privileged, and I don't feel like I'm worthy of the privilege, because I don't do a very good job about it. And there's just a lot of things about that. But I mean, we ought to feel kind of privileged about it. I'd like to be able to put good on the list. I rearranged my list and put all the positive things first because, you know, I'm an American. I want everything to be positive. But as I tried to rearrange my list, I can't tell you that I usually feel good about evangelism because I always feel vaguely uncomfortable and kind of unprepared to do it. That's some of it. Is that I'm not really, as Greg was indicating, you know, we want something out of it. What do you think we need to do to help ourselves at the point you mentioned, Greg? Do you have any ideas there?
Well, I mean, what I try to do, not that I do as well, because I'm not a good evangelist, is that you have to realize that you're not the Holy Spirit, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit to change hearts.
Okay.
All you are called to do is present the Word.
Okay.
And so if you just focus on that and, you know, say loving in that, and let the Holy Spirit do its work,
yeah. I mean, one of the things I think that would help us in this is if we could think of it. Packer talks about it in terms of, you know, measuring our effectiveness, but are we faithful in presenting it? So that's going to mean a couple of things. It's going to mean we actually do it. You know, sorry, but that's going to be part of it. And then it's going to mean that we actually convey an accurate gospel message. But I don't want us to lose all hope and all thought about anticipating that the Lord will work. There's other things we're going to have to do for ourselves as a church and individually if the Lord is going to use us. I think part of that's going to be to recognize our own genuine inability to save anybody. That's kind of the point of Packer's book, is that it's God that has to save people. And so then the other thing is when you think about what you're up against, what does the Bible tell you about unsaved people? What condition are they in? They are what? They're dead. It says they're dead in trespasses and sins. That ought to convey to all of us that Jesus has asked you to do something that is impossible for you to do. And you ought to be greatly encouraged because He does it. So your job in it is to convey accurately the message of salvation to people. And while you do it, part of what's wrong with how I do it, when I do it, is I really am not as aware of this as I need to be, and I need to do more praying before I evangelize. I really need to pray because I'm completely unable to do what God has asked me to do, and the people who I'm talking to are completely unable to respond unless God makes them respond, and yet that's what Jesus has asked me to do. So because of our own inability, we really need the Lord, and I think this could be a very good thing for us if we would take this to heart and begin to let this work on our hearts as we think about how we're doing evangelism, because it's going to affect the rest of your Christian life too. If you realize again, maybe afresh, how utterly dependent upon God you are. Really, you are all the time. You're just not thinking right. And this is an area to bring this to the forefront of your mind and help you think, I am utterly dependent upon God. I need the Lord. I need the Lord to work in my life to do these things. And, you know, we really need that. Why do you think, does anybody think they're doing great at evangelism right now? My hand's not up. It's down. Nobody's raising their hand. And so, or did I cut someone off? Okay. Anybody? I feel like I'm doing Vore Dyer, Dennis. I can't get anybody to respond. I'm up here talking. Okay, well, yeah. Does everyone here feel they can be fair? I'm a lawyer, so Dennis and I are playing lawyer games. I want to ask this. If you don't feel like you're doing a real good job at this, and Greg's already shared some things with us, why do you think we're not doing better at it? Maybe this is part of it. Billy. Okay. Okay. We're not used to interacting, connecting with people. It's unusual, I think, to get information delivered personally from strangers. That's an unusual way. Ann and John, and if I can go in that order. Ann? Okay. Okay. We really do fear people, don't we? And I mean, part of it for me is I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't like looking stupid. And you're telling people to believe something that a lot that people don't believe. So that's some of it. Can I go John and then Kelly?
Yeah, along those same lines, some people say that we live from the postmodern age to the post-Christian age.
I think we have. I think that's right, and I don't know if I'll make it as far as I wanted to make it, and I'm not going to be able to do 2 or 3 weeks of introductory comments, so wherever I make it today, I'm done. But one of the things I did want to say is, if you observe what the Apostle Paul does and study kind of how he does evangelism, and you look at it in the book of Acts, one of the things he does is, when he goes to Jews, what does he start with? Jesus. He's the Messiah. And the reason he does that is because he can recognize that they have the underlying... Packer says part of the gospel message is that God is God and that we're His creatures. And the Hebrews says the beginning of faith is that we know that God created all things. You've got to have that. That's part of the gospel message. Paul starts with Jews that way because they have that. Jews have, that the Jews that Paul was going to had, that God was God, He created us, He gave His law. So you can start with them by saying, this Jesus is the Messiah foretold by the prophets, and all the things written about Him in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms had to be fulfilled. You could open up the Scriptures and just go to the Jews like that. John's point is, we can't do that for the most part. We do live in a post-Christian age, and for the most part, we're talking to people... I think what we're going to have to learn to do is figure out pretty quickly where they are. So one of the things we will learn to do is to ask people, do you have a religious background? And then you can ask what it is. And you can find out some things about where they are and what they're doing. But you see Paul, by way of example, when he goes on Mars Hill, what does he do? Andrew knows. He's going to tell us. Right. And he gives them creator-creature distinction. And sometimes when you read commentators about that particular point, they'll write things like, well, you know, Paul just didn't do well on this occasion. And, you know, I mean, it's possible that the Apostle Paul didn't do well on occasion. That's a possibility, but when you think about the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, it's inspired by God, He gave us the book of Acts, it just seems unlikely to me that the point of putting the Apostle Paul in on Mars Hill and showing that he did that was that, you know, Paul got confused and did a philosophical diatribe when he could have done a lot better job of preaching. I think there are some differences in the way he approached people who had no concept of who God was, and I think there has to be. And I think there's also some differences in terms of what happens when he does it, because back to Greg's point, there are times where you're just going to faithfully deliver the message, and at the end of it, you're going to get a blank stare back, or the guy's going to go, thanks very much, and become uncomfortable, and you're going to separate, and that's going to be the end of it. Can I call on Kelly before I call on you? And I'm sorry if I've moved way beyond what you were going to say.
I was just going to say, I think it's important. We keep saying, well, we don't want to go up to strangers. Why
right.
Don't we talk to strangers? Why can't you get to know somebody?
I think we do have to do that. I think you're right. Yeah. One of the things I wanted to say this morning is I want us to think about evangelism broadly. I want us to think about it broadly. The only reason, I think you're right. I think that God calls us to do more than approach people on the street and people we meet as case studies. And another thing is, I think when we do that, I don't think we're a whole lot different than Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I think that's a danger. But there's kind of two sides to this as far as like, well, let's not make it strangers, because let's make it friendship evangelism. And man, I've really been doing friendship evangelism for about 30 years, and I have a lot of friends that I've never told the gospel to. And that's one of the things I want to, it warns me about it. And then this course may, you know, maybe in a way, you know, I'm going to try to give helpful commentary to it. I hope we can be Bereans as we go through it. I hope we can examine the Word of God as we watch this and filter it and think about what's good. And I've completely lost the thought I was making. But I guess just dovetailing with, you know, the thing that you said, that's something that I've really thought a lot of my Christian life. That's right. And Packer, after he drives home the responsibility of evangelism, he says, you know, don't just be making people case studies. You know, if we really are just sizing people up as marks and delivering the goods to them, we're sort of like, you know, gospel ninjas or something, going to make the hit. You know, have I delivered my points to them? And then, you know, thank you very much. Do you want to make a decision? No, thank you. Okay, bye. So we're sort of hitmen. We don't want to be hitmen. We don't want to see people as marks. But I do want us to see evangelism as being pretty broad, so that even though, see, because we can completely excuse ourselves from ever doing evangelism if we say, well, I've got to make a relationship with them, because it takes time to make a relationship with people. And that is what we should be doing. We've got to treat them like friends. We've got to treat them. We've got to love them. They're our neighbors. But we've got to get to the point where we don't excuse ourselves from telling people about Jesus Christ because we don't think we've made a relationship. The other thing is, I excuse myself because it is always awkward to change and tell them about Jesus Christ. And I even think it gets a little bit harder once they know you a little bit. And the reason it gets harder is because then they know that I'm a Christian, and then they know that I'm a sinner, and I tell them that I'm a Christian, and then it gets harder. I want to hear from Dennis.
Real quick, I was just thinking about what you're saying about the understanding who we're talking to and have a basis. You do know that they're dead. We also know Romans 1, we don't have to. They do have, even though they may be denying or suppressing it, there is a truth that they understand they are created.
Amen.
And
they have some other stuff too, right? The law of God's written on their heart.
So we take a biblical theological view and say, what does the Bible say that they are? Well, they're not just dead. They're also, they are dead. But it's more than that.
Okay.
They're also, their conscience and the fact that they can see creation.
Mm-hmm.
There is a basis that we start that we don't have to assume that, that God is at work in some way.
Amen. Yeah, I want to strongly agree with that. And just the way this goes, I mean, you guys know what it's like if you teach a class. I mean, it usually doesn't go the way you think it'll go. And this isn't at all going the way I thought it was going to go. But one of the things I did want to say, dovetailing with that point, Dennis, is the thing that I liked as I watched this is there are a lot of examples of this guy going out and doing street evangelism. And the basic approach in the way of the master is to take the law of God and press it on a person's conscience to see if they can understand their need of a Savior. And what Ray Comfort's willing to do, I mean, if he gets somebody, basically he's confronting them with some version, some summarized version of the Ten Commandments and asking them questions like, have you ever told a lie? Yes. What does that make you? And I'll tell you, I've done this a couple times since I've studied the material. Almost always, people almost always, they won't say a liar. When you ask them, have you ever told a lie? They'll say yes, or sometimes they'll say no, and you have to move on. But and Ray Comfort really knows how to push it, because like when they say no, then they'll go, how about right now? So, I mean, he'll kind of torque that up a little bit. But, you know, ask him, have you ever told a lie? Usually people will say yes, and then you can say, what does that make you? And a number of people, like on the video, will go, I'm a good person. That's the next thing they say. And I had an opportunity to preach at the jail in Plainview fairly recently, and I kind of took him through this little presentation, asked him, have you ever told a lie? And, I mean, sure enough, I mean, after they said yes, they wouldn't tell me they're a liar. And so what he does is he turns around and says, well, if I told a lie, what does that make me? And they automatically go, you're a liar. Well, what's it make you? Okay, I'm a liar too. But he takes them through and presses the law of God on them in kind of a summarized way, but then says, you know, if God judges you based on his law, where does that put you? Are you guilty? And he has a number of things he's thought through doing. But I think the thing it does is he really does go, whether or not, I don't know that he's theologically trained, and I don't know that I care. I think he's being obedient to the Lord. But I don't know how theologically trained he is, but I'll tell you what he is doing. He's living out a number of the things that we believe. Because what he does do is he assumes that these people, regardless of what they tell him, he assumes they believe there's a God. Because that's written on their hearts, and the Bible tells us it is, as Dennis has just told us. And he assumes that the place to go with them is the law of God. Because if you break down, if you start out and say, well, do you believe there's a God, and like try to argue classical apologetics with him, you get nowhere. If you've ever tried, do you get anywhere, Rodney?
No.
You get nowhere. And I've kind of tried it too, but you've tried it more. And I mean, you just get nowhere. And what he does is when they say, well, I don't believe there's a God, he's just like, I'm getting back to that. Let me talk to you about the law. And he believes that the biblical way of sharing the gospel as set forth in the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus does it, is to basically press the law of God on people's hearts. Because in their fallen minds, you know, they're going to raise a number of objections. But when you confront them with the law, it humbles them. Or if it doesn't, and this is the material in the course, he doesn't give them the gospel. He stops. Because if they won't ever say, that's right, I'm guilty before God, then they're not at the place where they know they need a Savior. If they do say it, and there's examples of both on the videos, if they do say, you know, you can really see in watching the videos, just people are just very affected by confronting their own sin. And some really aren't. And where they aren't, he just keeps going with the law and finally says, it's been good talking to you, see you later, and lets them go. Because if they can't be humbled by the law and they can't see they need a Savior, then they can't go any farther. I wasn't going to talk a lot about this, but I am pretty excited about being able to get a fairly compact message. And I wanted to say something else, which is to say, Kelly, I agree with you. I don't think that it's all about talking to strangers. But what I want us to think about as a church is that really a lot of what we do, I hope, is evangelism. I hope we... Rodney.
Well, I was going to say, I was trained to use the four spiritual laws for years and years. And, of course, I began to weave in scripture that I thought was more appropriate because I was becoming a Calvinist. And so I've learned to go in cold turkey, you know, and just knock on a guy's door. And I got to where, you know, I could do that. I was really afraid for a long time that, you know, you could overcome that. But we want formulas, and we want, you know, quick and easy things to do it. But really,
right.
Evangelism can be, there are times when you're not going to be able to present the whole gospel if you think you should present the whole gospel.
That's right.
God gives you opportunities to present something sometimes to someone right there. And, you know, I think we forget that that is presenting the gospel. Because you may be presenting an aspect of God's nature in truth and saying, here's the standard, and here's God. And that can open up a person. You know, God can use that. And so it's not like you have to sit down with everyone and go through boom, 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 boom every step, because people are at different points in their lives. They're not going to sometimes be able to hear you out.
That's right.
And I know I've had a tendency to kind of, you know, in years in law school, you know, they say, don't go in and vomit on the jury.
Yeah, I hope I haven't been vomiting on you guys today.
Know, and I've done that with the gospel. You know, I've tried to get the gospel out and not vomited on them, basically, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, and it's not really what the Lord wants of us.
Yeah, but as you learn, like I was thinking last week, as you understand and know Christ, as you understand and know the covenant and how the covenant fits the truth of Scripture together, how the covenant comes through, and then as you understand your culture, your audience, you have to, like we discussed, understand and know your audience. Because if you ever study great speakers, they know their audience, and so they know how to speak to them and meet them there. And we know our audience because of Romans 1.
Yeah, but we're very unpracticed in approaching our audience.
We know men know the law of God is on their hearts. Mm-hmm. But if men are going to deny the law of God, I think another way to do this, I don't know if he's going to touch on this, but another thing is that if people are unwilling to accept the law of God, they reject it, and unwilling to admit that, the next step is to take them, and you have to get to know them. You have to get to know and see their inconsistencies. And I think this is consistent with Van Til's approach.
I think it is. I mean, he's not totally consistent, but overall, on the practice of it.
You can show them where they may not want to accept God's law, but they have their own standard of right and wrong.
Okay.
They judge people on every day. And you can point out, hey, you may not use God's standard. You have your own personal standard. You're not even consistent with it. And that's Romans 2.
Sure.
You're only not consistent with God's law. If you take your own law that you apply to people and judge people every day, you're not even consistent with that. Because I look in the mirror today and see that in my life when I have my own little standards.
Yeah.
And somebody doesn't
I do too.
Standards, and I get bent out of shape, and then I realize, wait a minute, I'm not even keeping my little standards. So it's exhibiting the grace of God too.
Yes. Billy? Right, and I guess what I want to say on this is, I hope that we can begin to see this not as either or, but both and. And that's kind of my point. I mean, there's a number of things that we say, that I say, that ultimately in practice in my life have worked into me not being very evangelistic. I mean, and they're all things that make me feel very much more comfortable about how I do it. But ultimately, it ends up with me not being very evangelistic. And, you know, Packer says several things. I mean, I wish you would. I hope when you get his book that you will reread it. You know, he basically says that if we're doing this, that we, you know, if we love people, that we will be enterprising. You know, you think about, you know, everybody that's been in a dating relationship and ended up in a marriage. I mean, think about those first days when you met your wife. You know, I mean, you were like always thinking about, what can I do to please her? And, you know, how can I do this? And how can I make this work? Yeah, all the couples are looking at each other. Yeah, you need to go back to doing that, guys. And I do too. But, you know, we need to be enterprising about evangelism. We need to give it our ingenuity. We need to give it our energy. And I mean, just very frankly, by way of confession, I don't do that regularly. You know, I won't tell you that I've had no interest in evangelism. I do have some. I do. How much time do I have, David? Oh, great. So I've covered one page of my deal.
I was going to say, what we're just talking about is a version of Paul's comment about becoming all things to all people.
Amen.
Personal evangelism, because our culture has been
Yeah, I think. I think so. One of the things that has stopped me from doing personal evangelism is that after I became convinced of the Reformed position, I became distrustful of techniques because they are techniques. So anytime anybody tells me this is how you do it, I think, well, you know, this is a technique. Oh, no! And, you know, there's something wrong-headed about that, but there's something right-headed about it, too. Because my point on we've got to be utterly dependent upon the Lord, I mean, if we go through this course, my point on urging the church to go through this course is not, man, this is the best course in the world, and if you just learn this stuff, you'll be a good evangelist. Because I do not want you to trust in this technique. My point in it is that I think it is both and. I don't think it's either or. And I think that I needed to do some things to sharpen my wish and my enterprising evangelism to make myself go back to doing what Pastor Brack's talking about and actually talk to people and listen to them. And at the same time as I'm doing that, not just think of them as being, this is my mark. And after I've gotten to the point where I tell them that if they believe in Jesus, I can like write it in my book and, you know, I've shared the gospel with some and I've been faithful. A word of warning. I'm going to have to close with my words of warning. One of the words of warning I want to give us is this. I really, really want us to do this. And I want us to grow from it. But I do want to give a word of warning because I was a member of a church as a young person that really, really specialized in personal evangelism. And the people that did it well became the haves, and the people that didn't do it well were the have-nots. That's specially conditioned for a couple of things. Some people don't have personalities that this really works for them that well. The other thing is, because we're sinners and because we don't really at some level want to believe that we really, really need Jesus Christ and that He saves us, this can become for us kind of a work righteousness. And it can become, this could turn into guilt manipulation. And that is not at all where I want us to head. I mean, you're going to have to, once you're, start trying to do this, you're going to have to work with yourself about the way you're thinking about Scripture and your own salvation and not start thinking about evangelism as the thing that gives you your standing before God, because it's not. Your standing before God is 100% established by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, it's because you're trusting in Him and not because you're doing evangelism well. I want you to think about this like you think about other areas of your sanctification. How many of you are doing perfectly on Sabbath keeping? No one. How many of you are loving God perfectly? No one. How many of you are not worshiping any other gods or, you know, having any kinds of mental images or falling short in your image of God? No one. We're falling short in all those areas. I'm saying that not to trivialize everything I've just said. I'm saying it because we've got to approach this as our sanctification. And the starting place for us, I think, is to think, man, I can't do this. It's an impossible mission, but with God all things are possible. Things that are impossible for me are possible for God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is not too hard for the Lord. The Lord could use Christians at Christ Covenant Church here in Amarillo to share His gospel effectively. I pray we're doing that. And don't stop doing the other stuff you're doing, because you've heard stuff about, you know, part of what you're doing in evangelism is inviting other people to church. Keep doing that. Don't stop doing that. Part of what you're doing is making sure that the contacts that you have with people are effective. And as Rodney says, you know, maybe you can't deliver it all, but deliver some. But I want to urge us towards both and. And I think that we are genuinely unprepared. I think we're genuinely scared. I think we're timid people who need the Lord. We need His boldness. We need His help. And that is where we're going to stop. Am I out of time, or do the bells have to ring? Okay. I'm ringing my own bell. Kathleen, you can. Yeah.
Who knows? We will never know how the Lord will
Yeah, yeah, you guys, there you go. Yeah, and I think that's one way we do want to think about it is one sows, one reaps. And when I made my list about trying to get us to think about this broadly, that was one of the things I actually put in my better organized notes than this talk I've just given. But that's one of the things I put in there, is that like the thing we do some stuff for evangelism. I mean, we do prison ministry, we do VBS. We do a number of things as a church, and I think we are inviting people to church. And I don't want us to, you know, discount that. That's great. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we did VBS. I'm glad we sowed that seed. I'm glad we're sowing seed in other areas. But I do want to press us towards, I think it would just be good for us to be better prepared. I really did plan on going over the Great Commission and trying to walk through several scriptures, and I kind of think a Sunday school lesson hasn't really hit home unless you do that. And I've just successfully done a Sunday school lesson without talking about a lot of scripture. But one of the things, the concluding scripture that I had in making sure that the commission that Jesus has given you is pressed home on you, as the Apostle Peter tells us, to always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. And I'm just unprepared sometimes. And so me as a unprepared, failing evangelist gets to lead this class, and you as unprepared, failing evangelists get to go through it with us. And perhaps together, the Lord will work in our hearts and help us to be better evangelists. So let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to talk together, to sharpen one another as Christians. And I pray, Lord, that you will work in our hearts to revive us. I pray that you would, we do thank you for the efforts that we've had at evangelism in the past and the things we do presently. We thank you for your good growth in our hearts in those ways. We ask that you would preserve it. We ask you, Lord, that you would also help us to learn to love people, to not see them as case studies or as marks in our evangelistic belt, but that we would take the time to be enterprising, to learn to engage people. Lord, I pray that you would do this in spite of weaknesses of personality and character on our part, but that you would build in us, because of the love of Christ, the idea that we have this charge, this privilege from Jesus. We thank you for including people such as us in your kingdom and in the work of spreading the gospel. We pray that you would inflame our hearts with the privilege and responsibility that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.